Can you escape poverty by simply moving away from it? That's what government researchers wondered after the riots in Los Angeles in the early 1990s. They launched a very ambitious program called Moving to Opportunity. Basically, they moved 5,000 families or so from impoverished city blocks to middle-class neighborhoods. And the big question was, could it possibly be that simple? Would a change of address mean a change in health, wealth, and safety? And we think we have the answer to that question now. Sue Popkin joins us. She's a senior fellow at the Urban Institute and the author of a new book called Moving to Opportunity, The Story of an American Experiment to Fight Ghetto Poverty. And Lydia Grayson is also with us. Lydia actually got money through this program in 1996 to move to Jacksonville, North Carolina from New York a few years ago. So, Sue, explain to me, this program was actually designed to lift families out of poverty by changing their address. Did it accomplish that?
Well, it was an experiment to see if it would help people, if we helped them move to better neighborhoods. And about a third of the people, the 5,000 people, got these special vouchers that they could only use in neighborhoods that were less than 10% poor. And the hope was that when they moved to these neighborhoods, they would be able to find jobs and improve their economic status, and that kids would do better in school.
And did they?
And actually what happened was, this was during the economic boom, and what happened was all the people, whether they got the special vouchers or not, employment went up across the board, so it's hard to tell. But there wasn't an employment impact yet. There hasn't been a big impact on education yet. But what there was a very unexpected impact on the mental health of women and girls, an improvement and reduction in depression and anxiety, about the magnitude that you would see in a very successful drug trial.
Wow. So, Lydia, you've been listening to Sue talking. You used this program, you got a voucher, and you moved from New York City to Jacksonville, North Carolina.
That's correct.
And tell us what your outcome was.
Actually, when I first moved here, I moved to a little town outside of Jacksonville, which was a very rural area, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the kind of Section 8 housing that they had for families. It was like they still stuck you in a poverty-stricken area, and I stayed there for a year and left, and took my kids and moved into a shelter here in Jacksonville until I was able to find a better place to stay, which I did, and then I found housing. The impact that it had on my kids, I have boys, like Ms. Popkin said, my daughter fared better than my sons.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. That's a very good question. My oldest son, not really with my middle son, but my oldest son, after a while he tended to get into some trouble, and I guess he was under peer pressure. At the time when we were living in a shelter, you know, the kids there would tease him because we were homeless.
Sue, do we know? I mean, you found in this report very surprising results based on gender lines, mm-hmm. that the girls tended to do better than the boys. Do we know why that is?
Well, my theory, we followed up with a lot of the families. We did interviews with them. My theory, having spent a lot of years hanging around distressed public housing, was that for the girls, it was really getting away from a situation where they were prey, essentially pressured for sex, harassed, fear of sexual assault. And when we went and did interviews with the families, that's indeed what girls talk about. They talk about not being afraid of getting pregnant at 14, about feeling free to walk around, about their mothers giving them more freedom to move around, just being released from that kind of fear. For the boys, it's harder. I think, for one thing, they have more freedom to move around anyway, and a lot of them went back to those risky social networks they had in public housing. And they had a harder time making positive connections in their new community, as Lydia described her son. That's...
Well, Lydia, I mean, it's an interesting statistic here, what happened to girls versus boys, which stands out in a study where it's hard to know exactly what the trends are. Do you respond to that, the idea that in public housing where you came from, women were expected to be sort of sexually available and there was enormous pressure that may explain why your girls did so much better down in Jacksonville?
I kind of agree with that. It is different. I grew up in the projects in New York City. So... it is a lot of pressure, more pressure for girls than it is with the boys. And yes, boys, they do have more freedom than girls. because my mom was like that. She always wanted to keep me in the house, I guess, because she didn't want me to be a statistic, getting pregnant at the age of 14 and letting the boys go hang out all the time, and that's what they did.
So Lydia, you know, this program was response to frustration over the fact that the government is having trouble rehabilitating poverty-stricken neighborhoods. So they thought maybe we'll try taking people out of those neighborhoods into different ones. What do you think about that theory? Did it work in your case?
Yes and no. In the beginning, I had a really hard time when I first came down here because it was real, like, country until I moved to the city. To me, it was better than I'm glad that I did leave New York City and come down here because it turned out to be real good for me and my family, even with the struggles in the beginning. Actually, like, when the government creates programs like that, too, they also should have a lot of resources for the people. And there weren't really any resources available for me.
You mean like to adjust. Sue, what do we learn from this on how to combat poverty? I mean, you can't just move people, you know, every poor person in the United States.
I just want to add one caveat. Lydia, it's pretty unusual that she moved far away from where she started. She moved to another city. So there were some services for people who stayed in the same area. But I do think from MTO we've learned about the limits of a housing-only intervention. You can accomplish a lot. I don't think you can overstate how important those effects on mental health and quality of life were for so many families. They got into better housing with fewer hazards, cockroaches and things like that, too. But I think it didn't fix all the problems we were hoping it would fix in terms of employment and the deeper problems. And I think we're going to have a more comprehensive effort if we want these kinds of programs to have those kinds of long-term impacts. But I sort of hope that the impact on safety and quality of life is going to have some long-term impacts for the kids. I don't think we know the end of the story yet.
Sue Popkin, author of the new book Moving to Opportunity, the story of an American experiment to fight ghetto poverty. And Lydia Grayson, she moved to Jacksonville, North Carolina from New York City through this program in 1996.